Okay, let's resume on PDF page 40 of the lecture 4 slides. Let's see if we can't knock this off in one take. The topic here and the second topic of the main part of the lecture before we get to odds and ends is missing data and the solution by multiple imputation, which is a relatively recent thing. Reuben Little, Basic Statistics Books, and here Steph Van Buren did the implementation, and he's the author of the package MICE, among other things. And for wide form data, that is the recommended tool. If you look in the multivariate task view, you'll see that. Flexible imputation of missing data, Steph Van Buren is the text. Here, just to show you there's interest in that, you can see the number of publications on a log scale going up means exponential growth of the use of multiple imputation. What is multiple imputation? Instead of trying to either ignore missing data, which is pairwise deletion, which is in some sense the default in LM and LMER, as we'll see, trying to fit in a value which is imputation, which is almost always a bad idea, even if you try to put in a value plus noise, whereas multiple imputation, which is the modern way of doing things, attempts to draw multiple samples, so you are representing some variability of the full data given the data you have. And if things are missing at random, the EM algorithm will do a decent job of that. And then you do the analyses within each of your multiple imputations and you collect them back together. And that's what MICE does. I'll show you MICE on good old LM wide form data. We have an example of that because you got to understand that before you can understand, say, the special case of long form data with multiple imputation. And we'll try to show you cases where basically the mixed effects models, which analyze the data you got, don't require rectangular data arrays, and that is all data be present in all groups, may well be a good solution. So in Steph Van Buren's book, Don Rubin wrote the foreword and gives a little bit of the history, since Rubin kind of pioneered the multiple imputation. Book Rubin and Rod Little is drawing things, and you can see quick overview of that. And the one topic I want to stress is the bottom of the page where I have the box, i.e. the it sucks less. As I've said elsewhere, and it's applied by much of what I've written by Steph, quote, it's not that multiple imputation is so good. It's really that other methods for addressing missing data are so bad. So keep in mind, you are on thin ice whenever you're trying to impute, but there are less bad ways of doing it. So it's good to have all the data. Okay, so just back to understand things, and it's nice I've somehow found the code that Steph had posted for the book. And just want to remind you what an NA is. Okay, not available in R. Remember other packages used to have missing data codes, 999s and things like that, as in SAS. And you can imagine the number of dissertations that actually analyzed 999s as observations. An uncountable number. So R makes it harder for you to do that, but makes it harder for you to do everything else. So you got to pay attention. So if you wanted the mean of a string of numbers 1, 2, and 4, the mean is 2 and a third. Oh, that's good. If the third entry in the data set were missing and you try to compute the mean, it isn't going to do it. It's going to tell you instead of averaging in 999, it's going to tell you, no, can't do that. If you give it a special instruction to remove the missing data, that's na.rm equals true, then you get the mean of 1 and 2. So that's deletion, delete all missing data. That may be a very bad thing to do. You can, of course, make that a global option. And what LM will do, and we'll come to this is, and he shows the air quality data, which is in base R. LM will just pairwise delete any case that has missing data. So even if you had three predictors and only one were missing, LM at base would just throw away that observation. And that's what NAOmit does. You'll see that in an example we have here. And you can see how many observations. LMER will do the same thing. If you have NAs in it, it'll delete any case that has NAs in it. Correlation is one of the places you probably first met missing data. Because if you have cases where you have the Y but don't have the X, et cetera, then you either have to delete the case or try to impute for it. When you have three or four observations in X, Y, and Z, say, and the Y were missing for a case, you could compute the X and Z correlation. Should you do that, or should you delete the cases? So pairwise deletion or more extreme throwaway, everybody that is has a missing data. You can take a look at that and pairwise with complete observations. If you do pairwise observations, if you do pairwise deletion, you can get non-positive definite correlation matrices. So that's not a big plus for that. Core dot tests will do things and things like that. This is just the help page for correlation. You can see that. It can get complicated. So I had a little data set. You care about 137 per adolescents with a bunch of variables, some of which have a few missing data. And if you get pairwise complete obs is one option you can do to get a correlation matrix, a 12 by 12 correlation matrix. If you do a regression, just to show you what LM does. So I'm on PDF page 46 of this little, and I do a simple one predictor regression, and there's one missing data case in depress and belong. If you look back in the previous phase, belong is complete, but the outcome depress has one NA, so you're going to throw away that person, and you can see one observation deleted during missingness. If you pick a different one, school grades or depressed school grades belong, between all three of those are seven observations that have some missing data. LM will just throw those away. So it's case-wise deletion would be the fancy term, old-fashioned term for it. Maybe you should try to fill in those data sets, and that's what mice would do, is try to give you a complete data set, and we'll see that with the NHANES data from the mice vignette. And that's the Varden way of doing it. But LM's default behavior will be just to delete all cases that have any missing data. And if data is missing at random, then those cases, you still have a representative result for the population, just with a little less precision. But 7 out of 150 deleted isn't a problem. You might not worry about that if you thought the data were missing at random. If they're not, you got a world of trouble anyways. So there's an incentive to believe that if you can justify it. So distributions of missingness is the fancy way Rubin's mechanism. And so this is actually a slide from Stat 222, where in longitudinal data, people do care about missing data a lot, especially dropouts from a schizophrenia study and stuff like that, where we're doing multi-level analysis. We have a growth curve. It's our growth curve example. And we want to look at some outcome, say, from schizophrenia drug. And people may drop out at random, and they may drop out because they don't like the drug. So missing at random is kind of our best shot, that is, and there's a couple of missing not at random. Well, if there's a reason things are missing, then imputation isn't going to get you back to where you'd like to be, a random sample from the population of interest. LMER and random effects models work well missing at random. But if the data are missing for a purpose, i.e. effectiveness of the drug, then you've got a whole bunch of world of problems. But if just people changed neighborhoods, moved for no reason, et cetera, and you lost them, you might be in a good missing at random situation, which is LMER, analyzing the data you have, is probably fine. So those are just some vocabulary for missingness. Phil Lavori, who's an icon of the medical school and statistics, had a nice table in a psychiatry journal. We go through this in Stat 222. There's all sorts of things people do. Last observation carried forward is terrible, but that's LCOS is the most reason. Mean imputation, never do this. Complete case analysis, never do this. Endpoint analysis, never do this. Mixed effects or multiple imputation are good ways of doing things. This is the growth curve situation. But you can see, never do this is always a good thing. So the NHANES example is going to be our wide form, good old LM introduction to mice and imputation ideas. We'll go through this quickly. We do this in Stat 222. We have 25 observations on four variables. This is the NHANES example in the mice package. We have age, BMI, hypertensive, and total cholesterol. And we're going to I had to look back and see what we're doing with these data because it's just play data. We're going to take cholesterol as the outcome variable and try to predict it from age and BMI. And we have all sorts of missing data on all these variables. The small data set, it's for play data. And that's in the mice package. And Journal of Statistical Software, which is a great place for vignettes, has a great mice vignette. You can find this link to the package or just take a look at it up from jstatsoft.org. That's Journal of Statistical Software. That's where you'll find this tutorial. And I'm just going to make mention of it. Multivariate imputation by chained equations. It's a way of using the EM algorithm. And Stefan Buran is the author. And the NHANES example will show you there's something only out of 25 people, if we're on PDF page 52, 13 have complete data and the rest have various kinds of missing data. So about half is complete and you can get a quick MD pattern from the mice package, missing data pattern, see where your missing data are, pairs and all sorts of graphics. So I have a one-page handout where I ran mice on this, basically following what Steph did. Library mice, data NHANES, and I made a handout here, PDF page 53. So I have things scrunched in, number of observations per pattern for all pairs of variables. And you can see. So if you wanted to run this regression, you do two things. You draw a bunch of imputations from the data you have, complete data. So you run mice on the NHANES. You could ask for 50 versions of the data. 5 is the default. And you can take a look at those if you want. You can pull out one at a time using the complete function. And then if you want to actually run a regression, LM cholesterol tilde age BMI, you can get mice basically to run it on each of the imputations. And then the summary, the pool function will then collect those 5 or 50 different regression runs, depending on how many data sets you'd imputed, and give you a good estimate of the point and interval estimates of everything. And here you get your age and BMI predicting cholesterol. And you can do it again and again to see how much variability there is. That's the basic imputation. Given the data you have, you try to go ahead and create a full data set and then analyze it. That'll have approximate the right amount of variability in it rather than just sticking in a mean, which is going to badly understate a column mean, understate the variability. So that's multiple imputation. Draw a couple of guesses at what the full data set looks at, analyze each of those, and then pool them back together. So pool command and the mice command create and then analyze for you. That's basically it for multiple imputation. At page 54, just has another version of that same handout. And that's the end of Steph's tutorial. So in stat 222, I have a nice data set, which is 277 females from North Carolina. Their math achievement for 8 years. And it's very straight data and also a covariate. And just to show you that LMER just will delete any data. If I do... the data set has full 277. I created a NCM data M, that is, I killed the covariate in IDs 2, 3, and 4, about the simplest thing you do, made those NAs, then ran my analysis. The point is, instead of 277, I only get 274 people contributing. That is, the full data has 277 IDs in this, put any NAs and for the covariate, say, and LMER will just kill it. Now, LMER is perfectly happy to have some people with 4 observations, some people with 8 observations, just no NAs. You just, the data you have, it'll analyze. And that works well for missing at random. But if you're missing a covariate or something, you either have to impute it or let those cases go away. So one way to try to impute into long form, which is harder than wide form, which is what we did with NHANES, that is, it was just a rectangle. Every person had their own row. Here, every datum has their own row. So we have multiple rows per person. We have MER tools, which we looked at before, so that's why I used their vignette to take a look at their missing data capabilities. So that's what I want to show you for long form. So the missing data adventure here is to use the content of the MER tools vignette. Since we used MER tools, a package in weeks 1 and 2, seemed like a good thing to come back to. And they do some play stuff using the high school and beyond data, which we also did in week 2. So there's a familiarity here. They will use, instead of mice, they use the package Amelia for multiple imputation, but it's more of the same. It's the same sorts of things. And so I'm going to just show you some of the capabilities or concerns, going through some of the content of the MER tools vignette. You can read the much more elegant treatment the MER tools people do in the linked document. So I'm on page PDF page 56, doing my little session with the MER tools vignette, and I'll walk through it a little bit. And if you want more, I'd commend you to read their full piece of literature. So load library MER tools, then I'm going to load their high school and beyond data, which is 160 school, 90 public, 70 Catholic. As you may remember, math achievement we were looking at. Package Amelia is going to be used instead of mice for multiple imputation, and that's perfectly fine. So I just followed them. We got 160 schools and a couple thousand kids. Amelia, when I did this last year, was Amelia 2. And what I'm going to do is take that high school and beyond data that we used in week 2, remember, Bright prepared data, or you could get it from them, from MER tools. They're going to, this little function in the box, all that does is create missing data. So, for example, for the minority indicator, I'm going to make 5% of it missing. And for female, I'm going to make 5% of the gender indicator missing. And you can see I got about there. And SES, I'm going to make about 5% of it missing. And school size, I'm going to make about 5% of it missing. And if I try to run LM and LMER, we'll see what it does. So here I just ran a simple good old multiple regression on the 3,000, 4,000, 7,000 kids for this HSB because I made some of them missing. And you're going to see that because there's some overlap in the missing, I've got three predictors, each with about almost 350 missing. I'm going to have, 700, 800, 900 missing, I think. Let's see. Yeah, 1,000. Observations needed to leave missing. I had about 380 each one. Right. So LM's just doing a deletion of any NAs. Here we can have, if we put in four predictors, each of which had missing data, you can see we get a more missing. Any row with a single NA is deleted. That's what LM does. Okay. So, Amelia requires you to go through a few things to get an impute.ot. You just have to tell it what IDs you want to work on, what variables you're trying to fix, number of M is the number of imputations. You could have made that 50 if you wanted to wait a little bit. So impute.out is just our imputed data sets, just like in mice. And you have 5. Nom's a vector of numbers, names, and ink in a column. And we can get rows after imputation back to 7185. Because we'd lose about 1,000 from LM. And then we can go math achievement. We can do the mixed model at the bottom of PDF page 59 from this imputed data set. And take a look at what LMER does before it, and then run LMER mod list with the imputed data. That's the comparison. And you go through and you get data based on your best guess at what the data would have looked like had there been no missing data. You can get back to fixed effects for the mod list, and additional features are in the vignette. So if you had a need to do a whole lot of missing data imputation in LMER, this is one way to do it. I just did a kind of play exercise, delete some data and show you. You can impute back. Real life is more meaningful than that. And so here's the lovely vignette by Jared Knowles, and I commend it to you if you want to get into this. I just wanted to show you, I gave you an existence proof and the fact that I took a crack at it. If you want to see pages 65, 66, I just included the vignette, which is also linked because I just waved my hands about it in class. I don't want to get into 2D, but you can get all the model effects from Mirror Tools and things like that, the things you'd usually get. And so that takes us up to PDF page 75, where we're going to start. This is from the web page of a previous year because I put all these things in. And we're going to take a couple looks at special topics. So that's the end of our missing data. The main idea was just to show you that such efforts exist if you come to need it. A couple of things we're going to do. Just in case you know something about survival analysis, think of whether you're running a clinical trial in lots of different settings, lots of different places, just like the time to event trial run by Gilead in a number of different countries, which has people in a good mood sitting around in the Oval Office. That's multi-level survival analysis. Time to discharge is the survival analysis thing. I'll show you COXME, which is Cox Mixed Effects, by Terry Thurnow, who's a Stanford Stat PhD. A little bit of nonlinear models to show you pharmacokinesis and other things like that, or even orange tree growth, and ecological inference, which is old-fashioned multi-level stuff. Can you impute from aggregated data what the individual RBIC table is, and voting rights sorts of things that matters a whole lot. Aggregated and disaggregated data, which is multi-level data. Power calculations, the designs I have here, I'm not going to go into it here, but I wanted to call that to your attention. So previous year's web pages have all those links, but if you have the package name, you know how to go there in ourproject.org. So what do I got here? So I pulled out some of Doug Bates's talks, which I've urged you, if you're so inclined, to take a look at, because they are considerably good. Nonlinear mixed models. So we had a bunch of regressions within each school, and then we have a bunch of schools. That's our nested mixed model. We could have a logistic regression within each school. That was a GLMER model. We could have an exponential regression or some other nonlinear regression, such as logistic curves and things like that, within each of a set of nested places. And so orange tree data, you've got a bunch of different orange trees. Each one has their own growth curve for how fat they get. Logistic growth model, which is a nonlinear model. So it's a measured outcome that grows according to the S-curve of the logistic function. And you want to analyze a collection of those, just like you did a collection of straight line growth curves. So that gives you a nonlinear mixed model, NLMER, of course. And the growth of orange trees is Bates of examples. It'll MMESS package will be there. And you can take a look at that. So NLMER does nonlinear mixed effects models. You have some sort of exponential growth, like pandemics. There are different countries. You might want to analyze the incidence curves. Yes. And so let's take a see. So you got to do all sorts of things in nonlinear regression. R does some of it for you, self-starting models and things like that. We do this in the longitudinal data set because we have to do nonlinear growth curves. I just pointing it out here. If you're not familiar with it, just shrug and know that it's there. Here's the logistic function in the box, and you can take a look at that there. So here's what a logistic curve looks like. It has a inflection in the middle, and it grows to starts out at maybe zero, a low asymptote, grows to an asymptote. And logistic growth model. And I just show you things from Stat 222 where you can fit LMER. And it basically looks the way you're used to it, except instead of putting in a simple functional form, you have to put in the SS logist, because it self-starts for you with its various parameters. And there are ways of doing that. Just to see what these orange trees look like, PDF page 86 shows you the growth curves, which I haven't quite come to asymptote yet. This isn't very easy data to analyze. There's a nice plot, just like we did for growth curves. And you can get random effects. Here's a good one on PDF page 89. Here's where it really is. Nonlinear, it's just basically how long does the chemical stay in you? How long does remdesivir stay in you as after you get an IV drip? After your IV drip falls, usually things peak and fall off. These are basically sums of exponential curves. Not a straight line regression, but you can do NLMER on these. And first order compartment models, what are called if you want to see the form, there it is in the red box. That's for pharmacology type things. I don't want to get into it, just want to show you that such a thing can be done. Okay, so that takes us to page 92, a different kind of analysis, time to event, just like time to hospital discharge is in the news today for remdesivir. Here is time to PhD, a study I did in 1981-82 before we had fancy graphics. How long does it take you to get a PhD, or maybe you never get it? That is that sensor data. So the survival curve is time to PhD, where you want to have an event, as opposed to time to death, where you may not. Years to PhD, and it goes by department. Of course, it's going to vary. Science departments are much quicker than humanities departments. But you can see where five or six comes in. This was 40 years ago, so more things don't change. Okay, so all proportional hazards or Cox regression is a multiple regression of the log hazard. Hazard is just an idea of what's the probability of something, an event happening, i.e. getting your PhD in the next small time unit. That may depend on a number of things, such as your department, such as individual attributes. You're just modeling the log hazard. And that gives you the survival curve, and coefficients have interpretations. So mixed effects Cox models, if you know what Cox regression is, it's just a way of modeling the log hazard. Mixed effects models, and COXME is Cox for mixed effects. Lovely title, Terry Thurnau, Stanford staff PhD. COXME function, lambda is usually the hazard function, so you can see the log hazard is just a linear regression, x beta plus zb. You can see that's the same form as we saw for mixed models way back in week one. And just for those who care a little bit about random effects models under survival analysis, task view, frailty is a word we'll come back to. That just means everybody has their own survival curve, and there's all sorts of nifty things to do. So frailty models, say you can read a little bit about that, PDF page 96. I pulled off, whole books are written about it, but if you care about survival analysis and you want to look a little more at the nested version of survival analysis, where each clinical site might have a different survival curve, mean survival curve, this is the way to do it. So there's lots of mixed effects models beyond just the LMER family. That's all we're trying to do. X and page PDF 97, just the idea of the hazard, multiplicative hazard, take the logs and you have a simple multiple regression. Beta prime z is the fixed effects part, and the random part is the deviations from the fixed effects part. That's our mixed effects models. Package COXME is the place to go, and it has vignettes, and that's Terry Thurnau's package. And fit a mixed effects COX model, page 99 of the PDF. You can see I'm trying to get done because I don't want to keep you too long. If you want to look at this stuff, well, it's look at stat 222 week 9. This is a 2-hour lecture on this stuff, so I'm just jumping around, just trying to show you existence. And the example is the EORTC data set, which is just a bunch of clinical trials, a survival curve within I think 33 different sites, multi-center clinical trials. Breast cancer, the European Organization for Research and Treatment of Cancer. Okay, that's what it's named after. Just to show you, you can do that. So on page 102 is the EORTC data, where you want to know what's the survival time. And so you do a treatment, whether the treatment helps, treatment within center, and that's the kind of way you do survival analysis. And you want to know, is there an effect for treatment within each center? I, of course, have a handout. Not trying to do a course in survival analysis here, but just trying to show you. We have 37 enrolling centers, each one having at least almost between 2,000 and 250 subjects. So you can see you can do an analysis within each center, but there's 37 centers. Maybe there's a different treatment effect in different centers due to their quality of care, all sorts of things. And so you can see how you can think about, this is just kids within schools, again, different curricula, and you can go ahead and get the mixed effects models just to show you such things exist when you come to care about survival analysis. An education example is how long do people stay in teaching? You might do us want to estimate mean time in teaching because you don't want to train teachers and have them leave after 3 years. That's sad, but it happens a lot. So attrition, but it may be different in different cities. Some school districts are better than others. Some are admirable, some aren't. So you might have teacher retention may well depend on the quality of the school district. So you could have a bunch of different districts and still have time to leaving teaching. And so we can do that. And so I just show you the use of COXME, but I'm not trying to get people to use this who haven't done survival analysis much, but just to know that it's there and go through. And so there's just the rest of the handout up through 106, and 107 shows you another litters of rats. So that's just a quick show of COXME. I didn't put in the ecological inference one because that gets us going too long also, and all the other specialized things such as power analysis, and which is an important part of design, would be a good thing to go through. There's only so many things I'm trying to present. You have plenty of other things to do, but I wanted to show you just there is a wide world of mixed effects models even beyond the basic examples we got you started with. But the whole idea of this mini course is just to get used to doing these sorts of things, and then you can move on to areas where you might have substantive interests. And to get you in the adventurous spirit, having done some of the basics of looking at other packages, always just do Google searches within r-project.org for any topic you want, and you'll probably, a couple of things will pop out. That's the wonderful world of R, where number of packages increases exponentially and other useful things. So at the end of page 107, on our first rats, I think we've done all quarter. You can't do a quarter without some rat data, rat litter data, even though we won't go into it. I will call us to a close in week four of this little mini course. You know, we have some basic skills from the beginning weeks, and then we've looked onward. So hopefully this has been of some use, but I just skipped around things because I didn't want to take up too much of your listening time. And as always, use the material, jump in and jump out, get what you want out of it. Some of people have lots of experience, want to look at the advanced things. Some people just want to get oriented. And, you know, the as I said in the update, the idea of the fifth week presentation is just to make sure you've tried out some of these things. You don't have to have great success. You can just use pro forma data sets. It's not a large research project, but usually it's quite interesting because people always have various interests. So I'm going to call this to a close on week four. We have parts A and B, and that's good enough for us in mini course over. Your time is now yours. Thank you very much.